Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Dear Albie, it's me, and hi, Mrs. Manzo.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Long day.
I know. We were, you know, it's one of those days where I've, or nights rather, where I ask you a million times if everything is okay.
I mean, you do that anyway.
I know I do that anyway, but it is one of those nights where I'm like, you okay? You sure you're okay? You sure you're okay? Does that make things worse?
No.
No?
I feel like sometimes, you know, I'm sure everybody has this in their workplace, but you just need to come home and decompress sometimes. And unfortunately, sometimes decompressing just means, you know, being in your head for an hour, sitting on the couch.
Oh, I get it.
Being lazy.
Oh, yeah.
You get it. You
I do.
Understand me.
I do. That I understand. So we had our second wedding. I've been informed that we are, technically speaking, past the annulment phase. So you are stuck with me officially. My mother told me that.
Oh.
Well, I guess it's the 25s. So no, we have till Christmas.
Did you say it like you were stuck with me or I was stuck with you?
I just teed it up for the first time on the podcast. I didn't dive into it further than that, to be honest. I didn't make it a thing.
Got it.
Yeah. So we had our second wedding, which we're going to get into. It's been mayhem, obviously. We appreciate the community for bearing with us, but the wedding was star-studded. Jules was there. Nando was there. Greg was there. Urbana was there. All your Dear Albie favorites were
Candace.
There. We really should have. And you know what's funny? We actually discussed at a certain point having a Dear Albie setup at the wedding.
Kind of like a confessional.
Yeah, which we would have never really, I think, visited. You know, you said it quite literally perfect. You said, we said hello to everybody until we said goodbye to everybody and the night was over.
I didn't eat a single thing. Well, that's a lie. I ate one thing and it was a martini glass full of mashed potatoes because someone handed me it.
Someone was me. I handed you. That was me.
I'm not recalling that because I was tipsy because I didn't even have time to drink.
Yeah.
I just literally said hi to people and then I got stuck in the front foyer taking pictures with Santa. And then I was saying bye to people.
Well, you had Santa
that
there.
That was it.
Well, you know, it was funny. It was the exact opposite of what Italy was. Where Italy was, your mom was planning everything, and that's the direction that was there. This was just my side of the family doing whatever the hell they wanted to do, including my sister was making requests on your behalf that you didn't know about. Like, Chelsea wants Santa there.
I thought that was cute for the kids.
Oh, it was nice. Yeah, but my point is you didn't ask for that.
No. I didn't. It was about 2 seconds away from being fully decorated for Christmas. And my parents, being friends with a lot of Jewish people, because they belong to a country club where it is predominantly Jewish people that do belong there, my mom was like, I don't know how my Jewish friends will feel about all Christmas-themed wedding. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like they might be excited. And they ended up actually being the people who took pictures with Santa the most the entire time, which was the best part. So I feel like everybody had a great time, which is great because I can't even say I had a good time because I didn't even get to enjoy what everybody got to enjoy. The one thing I asked for at this wedding, what was it? The 360 photo booth?
You asked for a 360
and
photo booth.
I don't think I took a single picture on the 360 photo booth.
You took one. We got pulled into one picture. And we didn't know. It was actually a major mess because a third of the invites didn't actually even get to where they were supposed to go. Like a third of the invites didn't even go in the mail. And then of the remaining two-thirds, one-third of that couldn't RSVP. Because of the way I spell my names in my phone, I wasn't spelling names right. So that got messed up too. So we had, to the moment the wedding started, no idea how many people were coming to the wedding. We had absolutely no clue.
I still don't know a third of the people that were actually there. I was saying hi to people that I had never seen in my life. I don't think I will ever see in my life either again.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's how that's supposed to work. But no, no, but it was really, you know, it was just an awesome time. It was very classic brownstone and everything there, and you know, it was the exact opposite of what Italy was. Both of them in all the best ways. You know what I mean? It was very over the top and intense, and you know, a million people. And I, when we were getting ready, a couple of things. Number one, I woke up and decided I didn't like my suit. So I went and literally the day of the wedding, walked into the mall, which was Black Friday weekend, Saturday.
Which after you Thanksgiving. Really couldn't have done in Italy.
No.
You couldn't have done that. I mean, you loved your suit for Italy, but
I didn't want to wear it twice.
There's so many pros and cons, and I feel like we're pros now when it comes to weddings because we have done destination and whatever destination's called, home base wedding. We are pros.
Yeah, so
there are a lot of pros and cons to both.
There were a lot of curveballs, but I legit got my suit for the wedding the morning of the wedding.
Yes, you did.
The home wedding. And we hit the ground running with that. But everybody looked at me, if you remember, like I was crazy. Because I ordered pasta to the house as everybody was getting ready. Okay? I ordered pasta, a bunch of other little random things that were there. You remember, sandwiches over. And I start eating. And everybody looked at me and they were like, what are you doing? And I said, trust me. I'm a veteran of this stuff. I know how my family works. I know how brownstone weddings go. I'm eating before. And it wasn't because you were worried about the food or anything. We literally, just like you said, there wasn't a second. No, Nando, I almost should get him on the phone. Nando, I said hello. You didn't see him.
I don't know if I said hi to Nando. I don't remember saying hi to Nando. I just remember Lauren saying after that she never realized how good looking Nando was. So, Nando, you're welcome for that. And I was like, I don't remember seeing Nando. Mm-hmm. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. My arm was being tugged in about 1,000 directions because the second I got into an intimate conversation with somebody I hadn't seen in a while or somebody I was just meeting, I was pulled to meet the next person.
There's plenty of things that we didn't see until there were pictures of it that we weren't aware of. But now, you know, we are obviously a week or two removed from the wedding. You know, we are in the thick of it, of married life.
And we're done with weddings. No more weddings.
We're done with weddings. But you're I will say that, do you feel a difference at all?
Being married?
Yeah.
I do. I've officially become amazing at saying my husband, or when somebody, you know, is addressing you and I'm talking about you, which is nice. It feels good. But I also feel like, and I don't know if this is just me being a delusional thing, but I feel like I feel personally young to say my husband. And I feel like when I say my husband, people look at me and they're like, you're married? But they don't say it, but that's what I think. But I'm not young because I'm about to be 30. So I feel like that's just maybe a me thing. But do you feel weird when you say my wife?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't feel weird because you're my husband. I'm so excited about that aspect of it. But I feel weird saying my husband. I don't know why.
No, you definitely shouldn't. You killed it. You shouldn't feel weird at all. You nailed that.
I don't know. It doesn't. I guess I'm just not used to it yet. I really didn't get the fiancé phase because we got engaged and married in about 6 months. Not for any, like, reason. We just wanted to, and it was exciting. But I didn't get the fiancé phase. So the husband phase is now coming on quick, and it takes time getting used to, but I am saying it.
You didn't get the fiancé phase because it was a freight train of fiancé. It really was. Like, I've had, you know, that was a very, very, very quick turnaround. And what's funny was we went and did the parade this year with Marky, we were sitting in essentially the same room that we were in last year. And I said, we weren't even engaged at this time last year. We were essentially 6 months away from getting engaged. And by that point, we had already been married like twice a year later. That's crazy.
I mean, the community agrees that we should have been engaged by then.
I understand what the community says, but I'm just saying it's more of a move of what, you know, what a difference a year makes. But, you know, awesome, awesome, awesome time.
Apparently, the short rib was amazing at our second wedding.
Short ribs stay amazing there. We have some photos to share with everybody. There's so many great stories, so much that's happening. But a couple things I want to address before I get into what is a two-part question, because I want to get back into the thick of it with the Dear Albie community, because we have missed you. I have noticed one major difference, and it's probably late to call. But, and not that this is a shock, right? But my sperm seemed to be of extreme interest, okay? To, like, I'm starting to feel, like, no, it's okay because of the word. I'm starting to feel like a stud, like an actual stud, like a male horse, right? Where, like, your mom has been feeding me these, like, nutrients and pills and, like supplements, this and that. And she's hitting us up today about, like, doing all kinds of testing and stuff. She literally – I feel like I'm starting to be genetically engineered. I'm starting to feel like a sperm factory. Like, she's trying to – you know, like, you go online and you create a car, okay? She's trying to essentially be, like – what's the ingredients in there? Because we have to make sure this is, like, in tip-top. Now, I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know what it means, okay? Maybe I'm way off here, but are you getting this vibe that I'm getting?
Nothing wrong with taking your supplements.
Are you in on the sperm thing?
I am a supplement girl. I like to take my magnesium before bed. I like to take my probiotics. I like to feel healthy. And I feel like there's nothing wrong with her. Listen, I think the ball salve that she gave you, like, the second year we were dating in your stocking, that, like, helped.
All those have to be somewhere.
I will give you that. But taking your omega-369 and taking, for me, folic acid, these are all things that, you know, there are studies on that help with producing a healthy baby that has all its limbs. These are things that, listen, at the end of the day, she's going to love our grandchild. And you want a child.
No, so I understand.
You're
but
on the same boat as her. But if anything, I'm sitting here, like, when it's time, it's time.
It's just very clear to me that she is looking to, I feel like she's very, like, it's almost like medieval time stuff, which we went to medieval times too, but different story. where it's like, okay, great, the wedding is done. Now produce an heir. Like, it's very – now look, I'm with it. I understand, okay? But
– not for nothing. You were trying to produce an heir before the wedding.
Well,
but
I mean, you know, like, you know, it's just this kind of
you
a thing.
You guys are on the same page. I think there's nothing wrong with – and community, feel free to chime in. There is nothing wrong with preparing your body – to create healthy babies. And I think a lot of people put that past, you know, eating a certain way. Women have a lot of things they got to do for their body before they're ready to carry a baby. And I truly think there's nothing wrong with taking it. Albie doesn't like to take pills is the problem. He cannot swallow a pill.
It's
he
hard.
Had some traumatic incident where he tried to swallow a pill.
Nine. I choked.
Yeah, and he choked. And I understand that. But my mom did go and buy him the smallest pill that they could possibly in the ones that she think are good for you to take when trying to produce a baby. That's all. I don't think she's wrong for that.
She's no, it just seems
she's
like
supportive.
There's
supportive.
She's trying
support.
To enhance the I understand.
She also, you know, she does other things for us that are very
no,
sweet.
No, look,
that have nothing to do
I
with
I didn't
your
say
sperm.
It wasn't sweet. I'll tell you what. it just seems to me that there is a significant interest in the byproduct, if you will, okay? That's just new stuff. Basically, like, you know, she's always been about that life, okay? Always. But she seems to be, you know, you just check your phone. You check to see if she's awake. Yeah, that's what you just did.
No, I was going to read the text that this is spawning from because...
Well, this is a totally different thing.
You seem a little triggered.
No, I'm not triggered. I'm not triggered. Just she's walking around. I can see her. But I'm not triggered by it, okay? I'm not. But it is – I do wonder if there was something that happened during the wedding process that she was like, look, I want to like boost the omega fatty acids here because I'm seeing something in the lineage.
She's your diet that you eat garlic and oil and veal Milanese all the time. You don't have a plethora of nutrients going into your body.
Didn't seem to be a problem when we wanted to go to the Italian countryside. That wasn't
a
big deal.
You're not a veggies guy. Okay. You're not a fruits guy. Okay. So she's trying to help you get the supplements where you need them.
But I don't.
Out of love.
Listen, not for nothing, okay? From my background, okay, just in looking at my family tree, I don't think that I was the sperm byproduct of a bunch of broccoli and Brussels sprouts. I pick bolognese, okay, over broccoli from whatever.
Your mom only eats vegetables right now, basically.
Now, so. But I don't think, like, you know, this is not the same thing. I'm just saying. So just putting it out there. We will go to the questions.
Take the supplements or not.
We'll bring it up. We're going to have your mom on, obviously. The big, big, big request from the community is to have both moms on at the same time.
Yeah, we'll totally do that.
Several questions coming in. Million miles an hour. This one stuck out. Nanda said you have to read this.
And I have to read it?
No, well, me. Oh. But, well, you know, on the show. Okay. But like, it is wow, a two-parter. It is a two-parter. Well, you've read a Dear Albie before.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you have.
Yeah. Maybe.
So, I mean, do you want to read it?
No, you got
this.
Would
you like? It's up to you. Mm. Here we go. Dear Albie, subject, navigating high school drama as a parent. Dear Albie, I'm in quite a bit of a quandary. I'll tell you what. Okay. You start a question with quandary.
I'm intrigued.
Are you?
It's a good word.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm in a bit of a quandary and could really use your perspective. My son, who's in high school, recently went through a breakup with his girlfriend. They were quite serious, or as high school sweethearts can be. And it's been tough on him. We've been navigating these emotional waters, trying to be supportive while giving him space to heal. Here's where it gets complicated. His best friend since middle school has now started dating his ex-girlfriend. It came as a shock to both of us. There was no heads up, no conversation, nothing. My son is understandably upset, feeling betrayed by his best friend. They've had arguments about it, and it's straining their relationship. Their friendship. I'm torn about how to handle this. I've known the best friend's mother for years. We're not close friends, but we've always been friendly at school events and sports games. I'm wondering if I should reach out to her to discuss what's happening between the boys. My hope is that maybe we can navigate this together and help them through it. But I'm also worried that it might overstep boundaries or make things worse. I'm just a mom trying to help her son through a tough time, and this situation is so delicate. I don't want to add to the drama, but also feel like I need to do something. What do you think? Should I call her or just let the kids handle it themselves? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, a concerned parent. What do you think?
I want to hear your opinion first.
I think in things like this with boy moms, okay, I get the shock thing, but your son's going to have to learn that it's real in these streets sooner or later, okay? And it's a good lesson, but what you don't want to do, in my opinion, okay, is make it about the moms. Because, like, what are you really – you're literally getting involved in high school drama at that point. Like, I don't see the upside in calling and saying, hey – like, because what's the other mother going to do? Like what – honestly, give me the best case scenario.
So
that creates
the mother that's inquiring about calling the other mother. Her son is dating the person, or her son's ex is dating the
her other? Son is who is the he's the cuckold. He is the person whose friend. He's the ex. He's the person whose friend now. But it doesn't say cheating. They're just, you know, I don't know what the span here is and the amount of time that was spaced out, but it almost makes no difference to me. You know, this is the mother of the heartbroken ex-boyfriend.
I don't really know the difference. I grew up with sisters. I don't know the difference when it comes to guy code versus girl code, and you're a guy, so I'm sure you can inform me. But I feel like as a girl in high school, best friend – you don't go near anybody's ex if it's your best friend. Close friends and people just like that are acquaintances and you saw out at parties, I think that's kind of fair game. But these guys sound like best friends, so I agree with you. I do not think the parents should get involved. If it was, let's say, like the mothers were best friends, have a wine night and just be like, what's going on? Like, the kid's okay. And I know, you know.
Well, what would you do? Honest
to God. My kid's upset. They don't have to make it a, where are we going to fix this problem? It can just kind of be like a.
What would you do in this situation?
If my son's ex was dating
his best friend in high school. And it was your friend. Not friend. Same kind of thing.
Diminish high school relationships. Because, you know, there's people who have high school sweethearts and stuff. But I do think high school drama, and I don't know how high school is these days. I haven't been in high school in years. But I feel like relationships at that age are very immature. They come and they go. So I think let it play out. I don't think as a mother I would probably get involved. I'd be like to my kid, you know what? She wasn't the one for you. You got to move on.
I think that this is like a true overbearing situation if you make the call. Because, well, how about this? Put the shoe on the other foot. You are the mom of the other guy. And you get that phone call. First of all, are you upset at your son? Do you look at it and be like, hey, what's going on? Is this like a, you know, hey, like, you know, this isn't the right thing? Or are you so, like, how do you react to all of this?
If my son, ooh, this is like real, it's real shit. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to have kids and we're going to have to deal with this. I hope not. My kid, I'm just going to instill in my kid, listen, you have a best friend. You don't go near his girl. Whether they're done or not. However, if it did happen and it came down to it, probably be like to my kid, what's going on? How'd they break up? Give me the tea. Let me know what's up. And you really like this girl? All right. Well, I mean, you got to kind of think about what kind of girl she is if she's going from best friend to best friend. So that's a little, you know, that's a little suspect. I'm sure I will mature in my answer by the time I have a boy, but I don't know. I just feel like boys are going to be boys, and boys got to deal with stuff on their own. As a mother, when it comes to if I had a daughter, I would get a little more involved because I just think daughters sometimes need their mothers. And I would ask my daughter, though. She's in high school now, so I have to give her the benefit of the doubt that she can make her own decisions. But
getting involved with your son or your daughter, right, is one thing. That's fine. Okay, and teaching them life lessons. Hey, man, this is like, you know, this is like the guy code thing. This, that, whatever, you know, is fine. Okay, but calling the other parent is not advice to me. That's like getting involved. Like, there's just no. I don't see like what. Let's put it this way. Let's say things go perfect, and she goes to the son. And says, hey, you know, your friend now, okay? Hey, listen, what you did wasn't right. And he's like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to break up with her. Now what? It's still weird. Everything about it's weird. You know, like there's just, it's just a kind of a, it just brings it to a situation that I feel like is not, it's not a good look. And I feel like you go from the guy, it's bad enough that his best friend just took his girl. Now his mom's calling the other mom. You don't call.
I don't think you call either. I actually had an experience with this, not me personally, but two of my best friends, still my best friends now. One of my best friends dated this guy in high school, about a year, you know, casual. Broke up with her. Well, they broke up mutually, nothing big. 2 years later, at the end of senior year in high school, her best friend started dating him. Now they're married. I mean, you really just never know. I don't think you need to get involved with it. Their parents didn't get involved. I would say I probably wouldn't get involved. But this person seems concerned. So if it's straining the motherly friendship, like I said, grab a glass of wine, bring it up casually. So I see, you know, our boys seem to be a little estranged.
Hmm. Well,
you know, it doesn't have to be like, what are we going to do about it? It could just be, if you're close with the mother, have a casual talk with her.
Are you are you a little bit on the edge of your seat wondering what happened? Because we know.
Oh, we know.
We do, because this email came in about like 5 weeks ago.
Oh.
And about a week and a half ago.
We got to check the mailbag more.
We got an update. Now, you don't know this, community, you don't know this. We got hacked. We were hacked. Dear Albie was hacked. We were, as a community, we were attacked, but Nando was on it. And we've since gotten everything back, so you can hit us with the DMs and hit us back in the mailbag, dearalbiemailbag@gmail.com. That's why some of this was so crazy the last couple of weeks. But we have an update.
I mean, we also had two weddings, so I'm sorry if we missed any.
Yeah, but we would have made that shit work. We were fine. So, update, Albie. The call didn't go well. This is the subject.
She should have waited for our
answer. This is rough. And you know what? This is why, honestly, I blame myself. I don't even know what I'm about to read, but I blame myself. Because I feel like we've let the community down here, a potential community member, but I will be the same regards. Dear Albie, I wrote to you a bit ago seeking advice on whether to contact the mother of my son's best friend as his friend started dating his ex-girlfriend, causing a lot of tension. Well, I made the call and unfortunately it didn't go as I had hoped. I approached the conversation with the intention of discussing our son's situation calmly and constructively. However, it quickly became apparent that we had very different perspectives. She seemed to believe that the boy should resolve this issue entirely on their own without any parental interference. While I understand and respect the importance of letting teenagers handle their relationship, I was hoping for a more collaborative approach, considering the long-standing friendship between our sons. The conversation ended somewhat abruptly, and I was feeling unsettled and concerned. To make matters worse, when I told my son about the call, hoping to reassure him that we were trying to help, he became even more upset. He felt embarrassed that I had intervened and worried that it might worsen his relationship with both his ex-girlfriend and his best friend. This whole situation has left me questioning whether I made the right choice in reaching out. I'm trying to navigate this delicate balance of supporting my son while respecting his independence. It's a tough line to walk as a parent, especially when their emotions are running high. Any advice on how to handle this new situation, particularly in supporting my son through this challenging time, would be greatly appreciated.
I think this is a great lesson on boundaries. As a mother, there are just some things you have to concern yourself with and some things you need to be very head-on with. I'm not a mother yet, but I just think this is the approach I'm going to take. And, you know, as my husband, we got to be on the same page. I think there's boundaries.
Oh, dude, I'd be so upset.
Yeah.
I'd be so upset.
Well, we were kind of on that page where we shouldn't really have a conversation. But depending how close she was, she could just bring it up with casually, like I said. But, yeah, I feel bad for her now.
You know what? She's very sweet.
She is.
Now, I'll tell you what. I really wish this was somehow like a junior high school thing. But because it's a high school thing, you know, I feel like it kind of hits harder. I think the reality is this. I never will shame someone for loving their kid enough to want to get involved in any little situation in trying to create a just life of happiness one way or the other, right? I think when you look at all of the potential results of this, right, having a mom that loves them enough to actually get involved in a social life is a great thing. That's indicative of like how you are as a mom. But, okay, you have to also kind of respect the idea. And I think about this a lot. No matter how, like, you could be the cool mom, whatever. No matter how cool you are, even in all that shit, there's a generational gap that we're just not going to understand. And dating in high school now, right, is not going to be something that you're going to relate to the same way. High school in 2023 is not the same as high school in 2003. Just not. So I can't.
I wasn't in high school.
Yeah, we'll get there. A different kind of conversation. It was wild. You should have been there. But I was in
third grade.
But that's pretty weird. But point being, the perspective is different, and Did you make it worse for him? Yeah, but I think that if he's a good kid, I had like, did you have embarrassing moments like this with your parents where they got involved in your stuff?
No, my mother was like the first person I went to with everything. I would leave a party a little tipsy in high school, and she would be the first person to pick me up, and she would scold me, and then she'd sit and ask me details about the party, what happened. You know, she was very involved with me in high school, and I think that shaped a lot of the way I am and the way I want to be as a mother, because I felt comfortable telling her things, and I felt comfortable telling her when I needed her to step in, and I needed her advice, and I needed her to be there for me, whether it was, you know, I mean, I was a good kid, so I never got in trouble, like, legally or anything, but I feel like when I needed my mom, she was there, and when she knew I needed space and needed to learn a lesson and grow and, you know, figure out things on my own, she gave me that space to do that, and I feel like that's a great way to be as a mother.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, it's important. Well, look, when you're looking at the question as it is right now, the most important thing is, like, getting on the same page with your son. End of the day, look, I'm not going to bullshit you. That dude's going to have to walk with that. That's going to be a little bit of a – that's not going to be fun, okay? But I think that for whatever it's worth, it's the type of thing that he'll be in a situation laughing about later on in life, you know, and talking about it in a way that it's kind of fun if you play it the right way. Not that you have to play it the right way, but like what I would just say to him is, look, you know, I'm sorry for getting into your personal life, but you got to understand at the end of the day, this is what I was trying to do. And if you had to pick through all the problems you can have, if I had to choose between a loyal high school girlfriend, a best friend in high school that's, you know, got my back through whatever it is, or a mom that really gives a shit enough about you to do whatever it is to make sure you're happy, that's the one I pick.
Yeah. That's what it would be. He may not appreciate it right now, yeah, but I think in the future he'll be like, damn, my mom was a ride or die for me.
Yeah. So, like, that's kind of how he teed up.
And it's depending on where her husband's at, maybe he can kind of, you know, champ, how you doing, you know, going to the bedroom later at night and just be like, yeah, I know your mother's a little crazy, you know.
And it's one of those things. Yeah, like, these are one of those things.
You know, you know how she is, son. It's all right, whatever.
You know, but
that's the worst that, man voice.
To give you, yeah, that was a rough man's voice. But to give you, like, yeah, from a what you should say to your son, that's the move. Community member to community member, you fucked up. Okay,
maybe for us to answer the mail.
We gotta dial it back a little bit, a little bit. You know, but that's what there's, you know, it's got to be a lot harder to go through high school and shit now, because I can remember rumors feeling so big.
2003.
Well, think about it. Like, barely we had like T3 texting back then. You had to hit the button how many times.
Oh, yeah.
But rumors seemed so big then. You know, I can only imagine what it's like now, you know, with how fast things.
It took a little slower for rumors to go around back then. Now it's like you refresh your page and the rumors probably spread.
Yeah. So it happens
faster. And
commented
on and... Mm-hmm. Reposted and stitched, or I don't know.
So much.
I know.
There's so much.
I'm excited to have kids with you, though, one day. We're going to have to make decisions like this together.
I mean, this, you know, I would, it would be a pretty, this would be a pretty weird day. You know, I would be, you know what? It's funny. That's actually a funny way to actually approach the question. So, like, as the husband hearing about this, how do you handle it?
That's what I mean. Like, the husband's got to... It's a true lose. He's got to go, like, sit on the edge of the kid's bed and
just
be like,
champ. It's a lose-lose. For me, it's like going in and be like, bro, like... The only real thing you can do... And it's funny because... My parents told me a ton of times, and I think most parents say this one way or another, like, you're not going to understand this until you're older. And when you hear that shit when you're in high school, you're like, no, fuck off. You know what I mean? And it's funny because that's always the thing. Like, you're not going to understand this till you're older when you're, you know, a kid. When you're trying to make your way in life in, you know, business and whatever it is, and someone says to you that, you know, you look up to, that's successful, that you go and get, try and get advice from, hey, like, you know, you're going to appreciate the struggles you're going through now. You're like, man, like, it's really fucking easy for you to say. And then all of a sudden, like, you get to a spot where you start having the perspective that the person who gave you that advice in each of those different things gets to, and you realize they're right. But there's nothing you can say in that moment that, like, except that, that honestly, I kind of find that, like, that is almost a rite of passage in life. It's so much fun giving that piece of advice. Like, I'm looking forward to giving the piece of advice, right, that pisses people off, because it's kind of what you need at the time, too. You kind of need to be pissed, you know? Like, I had a kid that was working for us, you know, not that long ago. Sit me down and ask me some questions one day. And I, his dad, I, you know, looked up to major. And he was just getting into college and stuff. And he was asking me some questions. And he was like, also starting a business and doing this stuff. And he goes, you know, what do you think? And I said, I hope for you that if I had one wish for you, I hope that you fail fucking miserably. And he looked at me like and just went white in the face. And I was like, I hope that you fail horribly. And I go, and I hope you learn from this experience. And I hope you come back. And I hope you come back stronger. And I hope you're really starting to get momentum. And you know what happens? I hope it gets stolen from you. I go, and then after that, I want you to pay your dues again and again and again. I hope you fail again. Okay, and then I want you to clear all that bad energy out, okay? And finally get everybody out of your way, and I hope it's your fault that you fuck it up the next time. But that's what I hope for you. And he's like, that's like the worst advice possibly. He literally said that, because that's the worst advice you could possibly give me. I go, no, it really is the only way to do it. You have to completely fuck it up in every single direction, and eventually you just get numb, and you realize that there is no success or failure. You're just going through life. And then that's when things either go, they go the way they go. It doesn't really matter if it's going good or bad.
Maybe
you're
work
just
on that speech before no, you we know have what? A child.
No, that's – I think that if everything is easy, then you just don't get to a place where you appreciate anything good. Because what's the point of that? And there are plenty of people that I know that have had easier roads than others that, like, when they're faced with a challenge on it, they don't really take it seriously. And that's when you have a real problem, because it's just too far in advance. So, like, I'd rather be the kid in high school that learns that about his friend now and gets to college and has his eye open and then gets to a job and has his eye even wider open, okay, than the guy that took the girl and everything was easy and this, that, and whatever. And then all of a sudden you get hit with some random kind of, you know, bullshit. And because you're, you know, you like to, you know, you've convinced yourself that you're like some kind of gift, that you're just not able to react to shit. Like,
yeah, I agree. Just not I how agree. It goes. You definitely have to have some fails throughout life. I don't know if you have to, like, lose everything and whatever. I don't know what you said.
No, look.
No, I definitely think through struggles you learn a lot. But at the same time, hard work does pay off. And that's, you know, a good lesson to learn, too. If you're trying and you're trying and you keep trying and you're going to fail. But eventually you won't. And eventually things should go your way because you're trying and you're working hard.
I think the broader thing is, you know, it's nothing is like we watch too many movies with these things. And it's going to go bad a lot more times than it's going to go good. But the problem for me anyway, I guess the point is, it's a bigger problem labeling – it's a bigger problem being complacent in whatever you feel the result is, good or bad. Because even when it's going good, you really shouldn't feel that good about it either. You should keep trying towards it because it's going to get really easy to take away. You know, that's just kind of my, I don't know, whatever. It made more sense in my head. The kid's doing great now. The kid that I gave the advice to. I actually don't think he failed. I actually don't think anything went wrong for him. You know, I should check in with him.
You probably should.
Now I'm worried. Anyway, yeah, you're stuck.
Annulment phase.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can look into that. I think you actually got like 15 days.
You're good.
So, we're all good. Well, hey, drwmedvedev@gmail.com.
Write in some good stuff, guys.
Yes, please. Do that. We're going to be recording.
You're dragging me into all these podcasts.
I am. It's a whole thing now.
I want to talk about some fun stuff.
We'll get it. We'll get a little bit more edgy. You guys are awesome. We love you. Catch you later.
Bye.